about what everybody's seemingly talking about right now, the lack of offensive production from the Flames' bottom six. I know our next guest likely has an opinion on that, amongst other things. Very pleased to have Cassie Campbell-Pascal from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada join us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I am over the moon. Why not be happy, right? What's the alternative?
Well, the moon is out already. That's the crazy thing about time change, is the moon is out. You know?
The moon is out. And actually, we might blame the Flames' goal-scoring troubles on the moon here at some point, but we'll get to that in a minute. before we get into this a couple of different things, I want to get into a really important conversation with you. This Sunday here at the Dome, and if my math is correct, you will be hosting the 13th annual Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest. Is that correct?
You are a mathematician. Yeah, it's back in town, and Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest. I think the Flames practice Sunday morning, and then we're going to take over the Scotiabank Saddle Dome with over 300 girls, and some who have never played hockey before, some who play ringette who are playing hockey for the first time, and basically age 7 to 14-year-old, and it's a free program, no cost to anyone in the community, and you're right, it's our 13th year. It's hard to believe.
So if there's no cost, how do people register? How can people, is there still room for people to get involved, Cassie?
Do you know what? From my understanding, we are completely booked. But go to ScotiabankGirlsHockeyFest.com and you can get more details and maybe sign up a niece, you know, in Winnipeg or in Ottawa. We're going to be doing one. In Ottawa, we have some real fun stuff potentially planned around the outdoor game as well. So there's also one in Toronto, so if you know people in those areas, that go to Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest and check it out. And, you know, you never know, there might be a spot open up last minute here in Calgary, so look at the website and just make sure.
It's definitely worth keeping an eye on. I came in and visited, and I've been part, or not part, but I've watched you do your thing. But for those who have not, what is the day all about for you?
Basically, it's just an opportunity for young girls to get together and meet new friends and also get a chance to sort of, I guess, hobnob with some celebrities, if you will. And we have a lot of college athletes that come, and they're going to talk this year. It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to have a question and answer about, you know, what it's like to play college hockey, you know, CIS or U Sport, I guess they want to call it now. And we get an opportunity to pick those girls' brains and just show the young players sort of the opportunities that they have. And, you know, it really isn't about me at all. It is about just having fun with, you know, a lot of girls play boys hockey too. So this is an opportunity for them to try all girls and see what it's about and see if they like it. And, you know, it's kind of just, you know, a day-long hockey camp of fun and understanding, you know, what it means to be part of a team and, you know, just to kind of, I guess, give girls sort of, you know, show them someone to look up to. And we talk about nutrition and we talk about off-ice stuff. And we just overall have a really fun day.
How's it changed in 13 years?
Well, it's much easier to get people. I mean, I remember the first year, you know, you'd put it out and you'd just hope and pray, right? And hope that people would show up. And now it seems that, unfortunately, we have waiting lists, and they are just one-day camps, and I wish I could do more and have them three or four, five-day camps, but I have a family, too, and so this kind of works for my schedule, and at the same time, it's important for me to kind of showcase, you know, just the access and the different opportunities that girls have playing hockey now. And, you know, if we bring one girl that's never played before, and she comes and tries it for the first time, and she's hooked, that's kind of what this is all about, and you know, just kind of having fun. It's there's nothing real. They're not going to become better hockey players per se based on this one day of skills and one day of fun. But you know, they're going to get an opportunity to skate on the Saddle Dome ice and just get an understanding a little bit more about nutrition and off ice stuff and you know, get a chance to talk to some female varsity hockey players. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I guess that, you know, the one thing that I would wonder about is when you started 13 years ago to today, the resources that are available to you, the mentors that are available, the role models that are available. We know the great work that the Calgary Inferno have done here in Calgary by sponsoring girls hockey. I just wonder how much of that has improved the overall experience.
Well, definitely. I think just having access, you know, to a lot of those Inferno girls on a regular basis. And, you know, I know with Girls Hockey Calgary, all the minor teams that are the Inferno, and, you know, it's important to have those role models to look up to, and they're right there in the backyard. And that's something we do too, is just kind of promote the Canadian Women's Hockey League and let all the girls in on this wonderful secret that we seem to have across the country. And we have a team right here in Calgary, and they're amazing women and amazing role models. And, you know, that's something that, you know, unless you were around the national team when I was growing up, people kind of didn't see you or didn't get an opportunity to have sort of access to knowing, you know, where we were playing, you know, other than the national team. And now that's much different with, you know, the Canadian Women's Hockey League, and especially the Inferno here, who are, you know, sort of part of the Flames organization. The Flames definitely support it. And so it's kind of nice to kind of be one big hockey family here in Calgary.
ScotiabankGirlsHockeyFest.com. ScotiabankGirlsHockeyFest.com for more information. Again, looks like you're full here in Calgary, but events coming up in Winnipeg, Ottawa, and Toronto as the season plays itself out, with Cassie Campbell-Pascal here on Inside Hockey. To kind of bridge ourselves from one topic to the next, it is Hall of Fame weekend coming up in the National Hockey League and in all of hockey, because we should point out it is the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. And you have a former teammate that is getting honored this year.
Yeah, Danielle Goyette, just I'm so excited for her, and so excited about the articles that are finally being written about this amazing woman and teammate. And, you know, we had a roast / toast for her last week at Hockey Canada, and so many people showed up, and, you know, I wouldn't have missed it for anything. And I was asked to speak, and of course it was a group of people where you don't hold back and you can pretty much tell every story. So I did. And, you know, she's a remarkable athlete, and, you know, I've known her story, and I've known sort of the obstacles that she's faced, you know, growing up, and to be able to be as good as she was, you know, it's pretty much remarkable and almost a miracle based on everything she had to go through. And, and, you know, her and I, it's funny, we're really, really, really good friends, and we always have been, but we always challenged each other as well. And we didn't hold back. And sometimes, you know, that led to some pretty tense times between the two of us, but it also made us both better hockey players. And I thank her for that. I thank her for making me better. And I thank her for making everyone she's ever played with better. I mean, you know, there was probably two dynamic duos on the women's national team. You know, one was Nancy Drolet at center with Danielle Goyette, and another one was Haley Wickenheiser at center with Danielle Goyette. And, you know, she's the constant there, and she's the one that made both of them better. And she just worked so hard, and it was contagious. And you know, there was times, you know, and I've told her this before too, where it almost looked effortless to her, which sort of pissed some of us off. You know, we all feel like we're working so hard, and she would just go out there and just kind of skate around. And but she was so smart. And I think that was underestimated about her, was just how hard she did work behind the scenes on her fitness and in life and in her jobs and everything she had going on. So, you know, I'm thankful that her and I are still really good friends. And I know that she deserved this a long time ago. She really did. And I'm glad it's finally happening.
It's amazing to me that your era has produced not only Hall of Fame caliber players, but Hall of Fame caliber people, because Danielle, of course, giving back, she's coaching here in Calgary, but I ran into another former teammate, Geraldine Heaney, a couple weeks ago at Winsport, and she's coaching two teams in Ancaster, Ontario, doing skill development, and had a wonderful conversation. You're doing Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest. I mean, it's amazing what your Olympic teammates have been putting back in post-hockey to me.
Yeah, it's sort of an unwritten rule. I mean, I think our generation, we knew what it was to play like for a T-shirt. You know, you showed up at Hockey Canada camp and you got a T-shirt and a tracksuit and you were just tickled pink, you know. And, you know, we did everything for free. And then, you know, sort of as the Olympics movement started happening and sponsors started coming in and, you know, girls would get appearance fees and all that stuff. But still, you know, a lot of my generation, especially the girls that are older than me, they really know what it's like to give back to the game for nothing. And that'll never change. I think that's just an unwritten rule. You play for the national team. You do what it needs to be done to help promote the game. And you know, that's just a reality. And it's funny, Geraldine was in town and her sister was here and her mom and her daughter, who she coaches, Shannon, she was playing against Carla McLeod's team at the mm-hmm. Edge. And, you yep. know, there's just, you know, we had an opportunity to go out for dinner one night and just hang out and laugh. And you don't even talk about hockey. Like, you don't even talk about the score, the gold medal game or anything like that. You're just talking about the stupid, funny things that we did from time to time and the stories. And, you know, that's just another thing. You know, she's in town and, you know, you have a night free and you could be with family, but she's your teammate, right? So you get together and you go for a few drinks and you go for dinner and you have fun. And, you know, she's my great friend, but she's also someone I looked up to as well. So, yeah, it was really good to see her a couple weeks ago.
Cassie Campbell-Pascal from Sportsnet, our guest now on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Let's morph into a conversation about the local hockey heroes, because I know you've been watching them rather closely. You've been working a lot of games this year. Do you care to offer an opinion on what should be done or why the bottom six of this team is struggling so much offensively?
Well, I think at first, you know, through the first, I don't know, how many games are we in now? 14, 15 games? I think
15, yeah.
Through the first 10, it just didn't seem like there was any chemistry. You know, no matter what Glenn tried, it just didn't seem to fit. And, you know, I know Lazar's been up and around, and then Jágr gets injured. And, you know, so that chemistry really never had time to kind of stick. And but I've noticed really in the last four or five games that I've watched is they're getting chances. I mean, Sam Bennett, say what you will, no points, and there's a lot more expected of him. The amount of chances he's had, and I look back to probably going back to that Nashville game that they won in a shootout. I mean, he hit the post, I think, a couple times that night. And, you know, he had a breakaway the other night. And, you know, I think part of it is some of them are snake-bitten and frustrated and, you know, squeezing the sticks a little bit. But I think, you know, alluding to that clip that you played before I came on, I think the coaching staff, hey, listen, you need to score. At some point, that group needs mm-hmm. to produce. But I think yep. you're starting to see those last four or five games where they're getting in on the forecheck. They're building some momentum, changing shifts. They're providing a little bit of energy, which that was the part that concerned me. Not so much the scoring. It's just that those two lines will go out there, and it was one and done. There was no energy created. There was no momentum created. And I think that's changed the last four or five games. And I think as a coaching staff, you can be a little patient with that, knowing that it's coming. But let's face it, they need to score. And, you know, you look at that line. I know it was Lazar the other night or last night, but, you know, when Stajan, Versteeg, and Brouwer play together, I mean, those are three veteran guys. And, you know, they all get their ice time on the PK or the power play, whatever the case may be for each individual one. So they can't complain about being on the third, fourth line, but they need to produce. And I think when you see a coach put three veteran guys like that together, that's a key message. Like, hey, guys, I need you to step up and start providing some energy. And I think they've been better the last four games. And I think Jankowski, now that Jágr's back, I liked what I saw. There were some great chances early in that game and with that three. So it's coming, but I think the frustration level's at the all-time high there, and it needs to start happening soon. Or, you know, I think Glenn has to start thinking of maybe even changing some sort of, you know, chemistry on those top two lines, which is not where you want to go because they've both been so good. But at some point, you've got to get that balanced offense, and he's got to find a way.
Can you do that? I mean, I've mentioned it a couple times today. Former NHL general manager was after me last night going, well, what was wrong with Sam Pollock? Because Sam Pollock would have taken Bennett and put him up with Gaudreau and Monahan for one game. Would have just got him going, got something positive. And I was thinking about it. You know, it's easy to always, you know, play devil's advocate or second guess or armchair coach, but I wonder a little bit about that. I just wonder about, you know, knowing full well you're just going to do this for one game. Just put them with your two best offensive players who are rolling right now, just to see if you can rub some of that off on them.
And I don't disagree with you, and I think that's a good strategy. I think at this time when, and I don't mean to say the word project in a negative connotation, but you have a project in Sam Bennett and you have a project in Michael Ferlin, two young guys. And I mm-hmm. think with Michael Ferlin, he's started to really figure it out. Like, he got sat for one shift versus Dallas. And I think since that one shift sitting, he's understood. Okay. And he's been really good. I mean, really good. And I think, yes, you want to help Sam Bennett. And I think Glenn has done everything he can so far, but you also got to look at, okay, what about the personality of Michael Ferland? And what is the message saying to him? This is a guy that's played so well these last five games, and then you put Sam Bennett there. And so I agree. Sometimes you put a guy up on the top line to get him going, but I think you're also dealing with a young personality, Michael Ferland, who's been great and who deserves to play there. I think if there is a line that you kind of tweak with, and it's the 3M line, because I think that's a chemistry that's never going to go away. I mean, they've just been too good together for so long. And so if you're going to tweak there, maybe tweak with something with Frolik, where he's a veteran guy and he'll understand the whole thing and he's played every role, and you put Bennett on that line for a little bit. But I think at this point, taking away Michael Ferland does more damage to him, taking him off that top line, than it actually would probably help Sam Bennett. So I think it's close. I really think Sam Bennett just needs a point. He needs 1 point, even an assist. You know, even with Troy Brower, the amount of chances he had, he just needs a point. He needs to, you know, just to kind of get things going. And but at some point, those six need to start to be accountable, and they need to. And I think they've pretty much been that way in the media, and I see things starting to change here.
I like Glenn Gullitson. I had a chance to talk. I wouldn't suggest I sit here and I know him like I know other coaches. I just think he loathes to make those kind of moves. I think he just really wants his guys to work through it. And now 15 games, he's you can tell he's just getting a little impatient. And I really don't think he wants to do any of this craziness that I'm talking about. He just wants his guys to work through it.
Well, I agree with you. I actually said that on the air. I said, boy, you know, Glenn is doing a really good job of sort of mixing things up, more so this year than what we saw last year. But let's face it, he's got a couple more options this year. You know, like, Yager factor is a big factor, because he can play first line, second line, third line. So if you need to ignite something or get something going or keep a guy from being complacent with just the threat of knowing Yager could take his position on a line, I mean, that's an option that he never had. And even, you know, with Lazar starting to find his game, you know, that's a guy that can be interchangeable with a Matt Stajan, and he can be interchangeable with a Brower. Those types of things. I don't think Glenn had the option, you know, until late last year with Lazar, but he didn't have those options last year. And this year, I think he has them and he's starting to use them, but it helps to make sure guys don't be complacent. And, you know, even you look down at Stockton, I mean, this is really the first year where you can say, hey, you can bring up three or four guys this year. You know, whereas in previous seasons, maybe he deserves an opportunity. But there's three or four guys there now that can legitimately be called up, whether it's on the back end or the forward position. And so I think Glenn now can use that card where he can say, hey, you want to be complacent? Well, we're going to bring in Jankowski. We're going to bring in, you know, whoever down the road. And I think those are things that the organization now has available to them, you know, simply because they've been able to draft well, and they've been able to bring in guys in Stockton that are key players that have some NHL potential. You know, there's just a little bit more depth now for Glenn to play with.
Good stuff, Cassie. Always appreciate the visit. Congratulations on the 13th annual Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest, which kicks off this Saturday in Calgary, November 12th. You'll be in Winnipeg on December 10th, December 14th in Ottawa, and it wraps up April 22nd in Toronto. And I wish we were talking about space, but congratulations. It's so successful that it's full.
I know. It's awesome. But definitely go to Scotiabank Girls Hockey Fest. Check it out. And, you know, even in those other cities, and you never know, there might have been a team that had to drop out or whatever last minute because of their hockey schedule, or, you know, a couple girls, different schedules. So I definitely recommend people going and just checking out the site and making sure everything's still full right up to the last minute on Sunday.
You are the best. And next Thursday, you're going to be with Katrina LeMay-Doan and doing another project in the community as well that has to do with sports. And I'm hoping to talk about that next week and let people know about it. But I don't know where you find the time. That and you're a mother. I don't know where you find the time.
Well, I'm like you, just passionate about sport and life. And, you know, you try to be a good role model to your kids, and you're just the same. So it's a lot of fun living in the city, and a lot of fun working with different athletes like Katrina and Duff Gibson. And so I just appreciate being asked to do all these things. It's nice.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Cass.
Okay. Take care.
Cassie Campbell Pascal joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Create a masterpiece with a flame grilled Angus beef burger 30 toppings and 4 types of cheese. New location, Market Mall Food Court, for SouthStreetBurger.com.